Om Shanti. It's our great pleasure to have Shiluben here. It's our great pleasure to have Shiluben here, who's going to be going through a class on God's love, sustenance, and teachings. Those of you who don't know Shiluben, she's been in Mount Abu since 1976. And she came into connection with Brahma Kumaris at the tender age of 12. She is a science graduate from Bombay University. She was inspired on our knowledge, Baba's knowledge of spirituality, that she has been spreading the message of the spiritual well-being and the benefits of Raj Yoga meditation, not just in India, but all around the world. And also through television, radio, and newspapers. She has many responsibilities, and I won't go through each and every one of them, but just to give you some idea, she's head of the education wing, also in charge of the Raj Yoga intensive training, and also the Raj Yoga camps. It's a pleasure to have you here, Shiluben, and thank you so much for being here with us to share your knowledge, your experience on this lovely topic. Thank you.
Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Daddy Janki reminds us by saying Om Shanti three times. Who am I? Whom do I belong to? And what am I supposed to do? Who am I and whom do I belong to? These are always mentioned by Dadiji. And the third Om Shanti, she quite often gives different meanings. But they all convey that how much intoxicated are we when we say, who am I? Whom do I belong to? And what is my purpose? So we are souls, we belong to the Supreme Soul, and our purpose is to play our role on this world drama stage. We go one step further, we are peaceful souls, children of the ocean of peace, and we are here to spread peace in the world. And as we think in this way, our intoxication keeps growing. So today's topic is very, very not only interesting, but it is touching the hearts. Because God's love definitely has to do something with the heart. God's sustenance, again, it comes from the heart, and teachings also from the heart. So it has a lot to do with the heart. And when we have the faith that it is God who is giving us so much love, it's God who is sustaining us, it's God who is teaching us, giving us all these teachings, immediately there is a very big boost of intoxication in our minds, in our hearts. in today's world, people are so thirsty of love. Because in today's world, there is selfish love. If I can give you something, then you have love for me. If I cannot give you, then the love also finishes. Love continues till that one is receiving something. And love finishes when it is stopped. But God's love is unconditional. God says, I love all my children unconditionally. It's not that we give something to God and that's why God loves us. It's not even that if we are not obeying God, then God will not love us. But just as parents love their children, however they may be, whatever they may be, they love their children. Similarly, Baba says, however you are, whatever you are, I love you. But then of course he definitely says, my love is also number wise. That number wise is always there. But God continues to give us love unconditionally. And how do we experience that love? The very first day when we came to Baba, we started experiencing this love. Because Baba says, I give you this godly gift on the day of your birth. And what godly gift do I give you? A divine intellect. I give you this gift of divine intellect through which all the awareness comes in your mind. Who am I? Whom do I belong to? Why am I? Where am I from? All this awareness comes the moment we get this gift of divine intellect. And with this divine intellect, we experience great joy and happiness. So what is God's love? Then we will come to sustenance and also teachings. Actually, if you go to see every day Murli, which we read, which we hear, is God's love letter to the children. It's God's love letter to the children. And not only are we his children, but we are related to Baba in all ways. Also as brides, as students, whatever you may say. But in all relationships, God gives us tremendous love. And all that comes in the Murli. Our four subjects, knowledge, yoga, dharana and service, seva. All these four subjects are in the Murli. And they are given by Baba with so much love. So how do we come to know from the Murli that Baba loves us so much? What is the measurement yard or stick through which we come to know that Baba loves us so much? The first thing is, in every Murli, Baba gives us some title. He never misses out giving us a title. And giving us a title is showing his great love for the children. Baba says, you are my long lost, now found children. It's such a beautiful title. The Hindi word is Sikhi, the Sindhi word actually, Sikhi Lade. You were lost, for 5,000 years, away from me for 5,000 years, and now you have come to me. So when, just like, you know, parents, when they get a child after many years, that child is loved so much because that long urge was there for a child, for a child, and there was no child. And after many years, a child is born. How much love the parents have for that child. So we are Baba's long lost, now found children. It's such a beautiful word, Sikhi Lade. Baba uses this word. Sikh means lots of desire, lots of, you know, the desire to get. And Lade means to find. So the long time desire, I want to meet my children, I want to meet my children, and then the children are found and Baba gives us the love. So when Baba says, you were separated from me 5,000 years ago and now you have come and met me, so you are my Sikhi Lade children, it expresses so much love of the Father. And then in every Murli there are other titles. Sikhi Lade is every Murli, because to the long lost now found children, the Sikhi Lade children is the title in the remembrance, in the Yad Pyar. But otherwise also Baba gives us so many titles, whether they are Sakar Murlis or whether they are Avyakt Murlis. In Avyakt Murlis it is so distinct. You know, all the Avyakt Murlis which you must have read, the very first sentence is filled with so many titles. And I feel so intoxicated when I hear the first sentence, because I translate, you know, when Baba comes, I translate the Murli. And English and Hindi have one very big difference, that in Hindi the verb comes at the end. The verb, seeing, meeting, looking at, or whatever, the verb, it comes at the end. And in English, the verb comes at the beginning. So it's a whole, reverse of that sentence. The verb comes at the beginning. So when Baba speaks in Hindi and the verb is coming at the end, so I have to write the full sentence. And sometimes it's a compound sentence, many, many small sentences in one sentence. So I have to write the full sentence because I have to wait for the verb. What is Baba doing? Is he meeting the children? Is he looking at the children? He is decorating the children, whatever. So I have to wait. And whilst I am listening to the titles, I feel so intoxicated that Baba is seeing us in that vision, or through that vision. And then the verb comes at the end, and then I have to translate, keeping the verb in front. So it's such a beautiful feeling. We can easily understand what Baba is thinking about us. This is the greatest form of love. You know, when parents, they love their children, how much praise they give to their children. You are so good, child. You are very lovely. You are very sweet. You are very hardworking. You know, they love the children. They don't give teaching straight away. You have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. No, no, no. First they will love the children. They will, by how will they express their love? By praising them. You are such a good child. You are very sweet. You are very honest. You are very hardworking. You are very obedient. So all these adjectives will come to the child first. And sometimes the child is wondering, why is mommy praising me so much? But the child realizes maybe my mother wants me to do something, but then to do some work, but then she won't say straight away, come on, go and do it. She will first praise me. You know, sometimes we say praising someone is like buttering someone. When something is hard and you want to make it soft, what do you usually do? Your bread is a toast and you want to eat that toast a little hard. So what do? You apply butter. Is it not? And when you apply butter, it softens. So to praising the children is a very beautiful sign of love. But then again, this praise is not just based on selfish motives. Usually on the path of devotion, we also praise God. God, you are great. God, you are wonderful. God, you are so elevated. God, you are this, you are this, you are this. In our prayers, we are like praising God. But then after we are praising God, we are asking something from God. Or sometimes we are confessing God to God for our mistakes we have made, and then we are asking again for forgiveness. So that asking comes at the end. Before it's either praise or it is telling our mistakes we have made in the form of confession. Or sometimes so much praise, and then we are just lost in that love. That's what we see the ancient devotees used to do. And Baba also says, children, don't ask for anything. You can claim it. It's your birthright. Don't ask for peace. Don't ask for love. Don't ask for happiness. People on the path of devotion ask in this way, God, give me peace. God, give me love. God, give me happiness. God, give me strength. And here Baba says, all these virtues are already yours. They belong to you. You have only to just be in my company to experience them. Just like if you are in front of a fire, you are already experiencing heat. You don't have to tell the fire to give you heat. You are sitting in front near the air conditioner. You are already receiving the cool breeze. You don't have to ask the air conditioner to give you cool breeze. It's already been given. But we have to just come close to that, then we can experience it. So too Baba says, don't ask, just come close to me. And how can we come close to Baba when we have the feeling that whatever are God's virtues are my virtues, only then I can come close. Before we would think, God, I'm so peaceless, give me some peace. By saying that, we could not come close to God because we were peaceless. How could we come close? There was so much difference between God and me. There was no matching, no tuning. But when we get the knowledge, we understand that whatever are God's virtues are my virtues too. And therefore I don't have to ask for them anymore, but I have to remind myself that I have these virtues and I can go in near God and then claim these virtues more from God, because I'm already that. So in this way, the first thing that Baba does is to praise us. He sees us with that awareness, with that consciousness, with that vision. Children, you are such elevated souls. But then, of course, Baba has some expectations from us. Because when we hear our praise from Baba, sometimes children, you know, they wonder, how Baba praising me so much? I'm not really that. I'm not that. But Baba is praising me so much. It's not that Baba doesn't know that we are not that. When Baba says, you are holy swans, Baba knows that we sometimes pick weaknesses of others too. We even narrate to others. But still Baba gives us the title, you are a holy swan. you pick only jewels, not negativity, only positivity. So Baba sees us from that angle, but we sometimes think that, oh, how can I accept this praise? I'm not really that, because I do see negativity in others. But then why is Baba praising me so much, although he knows that I don't have that greatness, that praise? I'm not worthy of that praise, although he's praising me. Because Baba knows that we were and we will be. We are that, but we are not aware of it. So as we were and we will be, and we are already that, we have to just have that awareness. So that's why Baba keeps praising us. Because with that praise, the awareness comes. If the awareness is not coming, that I am that, then I can never become that also. So in order to become that, I have to have the awareness I'm already that. You know, when Baba says, you all are pure souls, many souls say, but I don't think I'm pure. I don't think I'm pure. I don't know how Baba is calling me a pure soul. I'm not a pure soul. But Baba sees me as a pure soul. So shouldn't I also feel that I am a pure soul? Some say, am I not deceiving myself by saying I'm a pure soul? Am I not deceiving myself? Baba says, no, you are not deceiving yourself. You know, like you are not rich and you say, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. You're not rich. But then, those are physical things. But these are spiritual things. And Baba says, you are pure. Because in my original nature, I am pure. But I've forgotten. And therefore, to gain that purity back, I need to become aware that I am pure. And therefore, Baba praises me. And if I'm aware of that praise, that God is seeing me with that awareness, immediately I'll become cautious. Even if I think I don't have, I will become cautious. And I will get the intoxication, yes I am, and I have to act accordingly. A mother tells the child, child, you are very obedient, you are very obedient. Okay child, do this. Now what will the child do? He is being told that he's obedient. And if he says, no mommy, I won't, then where is his obedience? So first the mother will tell him, you are obedient. And therefore when Baba praises us, that's the great love Baba has for us. That is the feeling of the feeling that yes, we belong to Baba, and he has that hold on us. He has that thought that these children belong to me, and therefore they will definitely do what Baba wants them to do. And therefore he praises us. So that is his great love. But then when Baba sees that the children are not really feeling that, when Baba is loving them so much, so instead of accepting that love, they are ignoring that love. And they are not really confident that they are really what Baba is seeing them as. Then Baba gives them more love. In what way Baba gives them more love? Baba says, children, if you do this, if you do this, if you do this, then Baba will give you heaven. Baba will give you high status in golden age. Baba will make you king of kings. Baba will send you to heaven. You know, Baba gives us a temptation. Children, you will get 100% purity, peace and happiness in your life. You will be double ground. So after praising us, when he sees children are not really having the awareness that they are that great, then Baba uses the second method. And that second method is that if you really become that, what Baba is expecting in you, then Baba will give you this high status. Just like a child is not very intelligent maybe, but the mother won't tell the child, oh, you're stupid. She won't say like that. Because if she says, you're stupid, the child will say, yes, I'm stupid. So how can I study? How can I really do something? But the mother will say, no, you're very good, you're very bright, you're very intelligent. And now, okay, study. But if the child is not studying, then the mother will tempt the child and say, child, see, if you study well, you come first, you have a first A grade, you get the first rank, then you'll get a bicycle. You will get this, you will get that. Baba, your father will give you this, or mother will give you this, whatever. So the temptation is there. This also is a sign of love. It's love. It's not that the mother or father are spoiling the child. No. It's love. But how to show that love? They show it by tempting the children. Child, I'll give you this. And seeing the temptation, children go ahead and do it. First praising them. And then telling them what to do. And also telling them that if you do it, then you will get this. So Baba also tempts us. But then when Baba sees that however much Baba is tempting us about heaven, golden age, the new world where everything will be so beautiful, you know, whatever Baba says is love for the children. But then when Baba sees in spite of tempting the children also, still the children are not really doing what Baba wants them to do. And then Baba uses a third method. What is that third method? What is that third method? Which is also love. Which is that third method? The third method is cautioning the child. Cautioning. You can say warning that if you don't do it, then see what will happen. So Baba warns the children, cautions the children. Children, if you won't remember me, then you will get punishment. Dharamraj will punish you. Now some people say, when Baba says Dharamraj will punish you, is he frightening us? You know? Sometimes we feel, is God frightening me that you will get punishment of Dharamraj? See, you will get tears of repentance at the end if you have not really made any effort. So Baba is not frightening us. This also is part of love. This warning is also part of love. Because it is a sign of care. Like the government sends out sirens, the government does so many things. There's a warning signal. Warning is not threatening. Warning is not frightening. But it's like, it's a sign of love. It is care. So that you don't go that side, you know, you don't really do that because it is dangerous. So Baba too says, children, if you won't make effort, then you'll have to be punished. Because at the end, Baba is not going to help us anymore. Now Baba is helping us. You know, when Baba teaches us, he's a good teacher, he teaches us. Although Baba says, I don't give extra tuitions. You know, in the world, there are teachers who give extra tuitions to make the children more intelligent. Baba teaches all equally, one murli, for all. Whether one is 7 days old child, or whether one is 20 years in Gyan, or 50 years in Gyan, the murli is the same. So no special extra tuitions. But still, some children pick it up and do it, and some ignore or neglect. And therefore Baba also has to warn the children. And this warning is also a sign of love. It's a reminder of what will be for me in the future if I don't obey. And all that is sign of love. So much love Baba gives to us. He sometimes like spoon feeds us, like children are spoon fed. They can't eat on their own, so they are spoon fed. The mother feeds the child with her own hands and spoon. So actually, for every action, every word, every thought, from morning till night, Baba is giving us the Srimad. How to wake up, how to go to sleep, how to meet others, how to interact with others. You know, for everything, Baba is giving us Srimad. What to think, what not to think, what to speak, what not to speak, what to do, what not to do. So all that is a form of love for the children. You know, all the whole Murli is love. Also how children should do service, how children should behave. So everything in the Murli. And this is all sign of love. And if we understand God's love in this way, we realize how God has so much expectations in us. Are we really keeping up to God's expectations? Because it is through us that Baba is establishing the new world. Baba could do everything on his own. He can, he's almighty. But he is doing through us, because we are the ones who are going to get the fruit. Baba is not going to get any fruit. He doesn't need a fruit. So all the efforts Baba puts on us are for us, so that we reap the good fruit. Again, that is love for the children. So think in this way. And when we think in this way, we really feel how grateful we are. People in the world are suffering so much. So much. There's depression everywhere. So much of sorrow. So much of distress. In spite of having everything, nothing is lacking in them. But still, relations not good. Thoughts very negative, atmosphere so bad, and those good souls just can't bear that. And even if they do bear, but then, and they wish to change, they wish to see the change, but they are not able to change and they cannot see the change. Why? Because the soul is so weak. And why is the soul so weak? Because no sustenance. Body is weak if there's no good nourishing food. If the food is not nourishing food, then naturally the body will become weak. So here the soul is so weak because no proper sustenance for the soul. And therefore Baba gives us such beautiful teachings which sustain the soul. And the most beautiful part of this sustenance is that Baba says, children, whatever you have, you should think that it belongs to Baba. It's such a beautiful way of sustaining the children. If you think it belongs to you, or you have the ego, it is mine, then the attachment will come, the greed will come. If somebody takes it, the anger will come. And that will weaken the soul even further. And therefore Baba says, always think that this belongs to Baba. And it belongs to Baba. Baba is looking after it. I'm only an instrument. It's such a beautiful way of being sustained by God. This body is just a medium. I have surrendered it to Baba. Then if there is some problem with the body, I know Baba is taking care. Okay, my past karmic accounts are being settled. I'm not really worried. I'm not very unhappy. Oh, my his body is not, his body is sick or whatever. I don't think in this way. People in the world don't know that they can surrender their body, mind to Baba, wealth to Baba. And Baba says, I don't take it. You keep it with you. But if you consider it to belong to Baba, then you will not have the attachment to it, because attachment is a cause of great sorrow. Great sorrow. So if you think this belongs to Baba, then, and Baba is looking after it, first of all, any type of physical pain or physical suffering, whatever, I will not feel it. I'll always feel that, yes, Baba is taking good care of it, and I can become detached from the body. Baba, this belongs to you. You take care. I'm a soul. I'm free. This body is not mine. And when that awareness is there, that Baba, it belongs to you, this body, even if there's some physical ailment, even if there's a lot of physical pain, but I can go beyond, because it doesn't belong to me. You know? We have many interesting incidents on that. That how you go on a road and there's an accident, and people are crowding there, you know, wanting to see what is there. And you're wondering, who must it be? Whose accident happened? And then people are just watching. Some of them are just ignoring. But when you reach there, it is one of your relatives, supposing, your own relative. Immediately you will be paying so much attention. Oh, so and so is this one. Because there is some relationship. But other people will not feel in that way, because no relationship. It doesn't belong, that one doesn't belong to them. They don't know that person, but you know that person. And immediately there'll be a pull. Because it's that thought of mine is there. Similarly, this body is mine. This very thought can bring your mind and intellect down. But the moment you switch over and say, Baba, this is yours, immediately you become so light. So body is yours, mind is also yours, this wealth is also yours, Baba, and Baba takes care. You know, it's very interesting, some brothers and sisters, how they share such beautiful experiences. They have to go out, now whole home, their house, they have to lock it, lock and go. But before locking, they tell Baba, Baba, you have to take care of it. You have to take care of it. And really, how Baba takes care of it? But the day they forgot to tell it to Baba, then something happened. Yes. Baba, you are taking care of it. Baba, you are taking me along. If the thought comes, I'm alone, then something can happen. Baba, I'm with you. So Baba is always with me. Baba is also taking care of my home. Baba is taking care of whoever I'm thinking of. Then immediately you're carefree. Because it is in Baba's care. It is in safe hands. And it doesn't belong to me, it belongs to Baba. So that makes you even more carefree. And that is a beautiful way of feeling God's sustenance. Because the soul is nurtured so much, the thoughts are so positive, so powerful. And then with Baba's teachings, the knowledge of the soul, of the supreme soul, of the cycle, of karma, of the drama, all these teachings also give so much power to the soul. You just can't imagine. You know, many people say that before I came to Baba, I was so weak, so weak, so depressed, so unhappy, so much like I wanted to commit suicide. Why these thoughts came? Because the soul was so weak, it could not face the situations. But with Baba's teachings, the very first subject, knowledge of soul, gives us so much strength, so much strength. Because the greatest fear one can have is the fear of death. Greatest fear. If somebody is told that you will die in 1 month's time, not more than 1 month to survive. And if there is fear, I'll die in 1 month's time, I'll die in 1 month's time. Probably that person will die in 15 days only, you know. 1 month is too far. But if, even after getting that information that he will die after one month only, but if that determination is there, I will live, and that inner strength is there, he can go on for years, that 1 month is nothing, because it's all in the mind. But then, that is possible only when I have that feeling, I never die, I am eternal, I am immortal, I am imperishable. You know, for the soul we say 5 things, eternal, immortal, imperishable, indivisible and invisible. Eternal, never created. Eternal means never created. It's not there was a time when the soul wasn't there. Eternal, imperishable, never a time will come when the soul will finish or will be destroyed. So never created, never destroyed, immortal means living, a sentient entity, a conscient being, immortal, not mortal. So eternal, immortal, imperishable, indivisible, nothing of matter can then divide the soul. That's why we say that no saw can cut the soul, no wind can dry the soul, no water can wet the soul, no fire can burn the soul. That means these 5 elements, they cannot physically affect the soul, because the soul is beyond matter, beyond nature. If we say it is metaphysical, not physical. And because it's metaphysical, above matter, above physical, physical things cannot physically affect the soul. If something is made of matter, then matter meets matter and then there's change. You have water, you heat the water, water will become hot. You cool the water, it can turn into ice. You heat it, water can turn into vapor. You can burn something, put wood in fire, it will burn. So elements, when they mix with each other, the changes come in the elements. Even his physical body. If somebody is drowned, what happens? The whole body swells. No, all the water enters the body. It swells. And then the body rises up. It floats because it is swollen. Such a heavy body, but still it floats because it's swollen. And something swollen, it rises. So we can see that how physical body is definitely changed. And we even say that in 10 years, all the cells of the body, they change. Therefore, age is visible on the face. However much someone may do some makeup or whatever they do nowadays, cosmetic surgeries, they try to look young, but still they can't hide because the physical cells, they are changing. And therefore, we can't hide the age, definitely not. But then soul is eternal. There's no age of a soul, and I am that. I'm not the body. So even if the body is aging, you know, people are so worried, oh, I've got grey hair, my, what will people say? I've got grey hair. Doesn't matter. If I have grey hair, I look mature, it's good. You know, in the Laukik world, it is seen that when somebody grows old in age, his value diminishes, his value reduces. They retire and then they don't have anything to do, and then the body ailments come, and then gradually, you know, their strength is going. But in spirituality, the older one grows in body, and that's visible on the face, grey hair, maybe some wrinkles, you know. If there's spirituality, then that person is respected so much. See, Dadi Janki, 102 years, but how much everyone respects her. How much? So much. So many people looking after her. Otherwise, an old woman, an old man, he's put in the old age home, okay, old age home to, you know, to rot away there. What else? Nobody will even come to meet him or see him or her. Because the spirituality is not there. And the one who has spirituality, the older he or she grows, the spiritual wisdom grows, the maturity grows, the respect also grows. This is how we say. And therefore Baba says, no need to hide your age, no need. Never mind your hair are grey, never mind. But your spirituality should be visible. If your spirituality is not visible, then people will say, oh, she's old in body, or he's old in body, but he's so childish. They won't respect you. Even if you get angry, they will not respect you. If you get upset over minor matters, they will not respect you. Why are the dadis given so much respect? Because the stage is so high. And that's how we learn from them. We take inspiration from them. We took inspiration from Baba, Mama, the dadis. We're always wanting their advice. Why? Because we know that they are very experienced, very mature. That is what we saw in Brahma Baba. You know, Brahma Baba shares his stories about how when he was born, in such a small family, very poor, in a village, remote village. And how in his lifetime he developed that business and became so rich. He developed the love for him in the people's hearts, because he was a philanthropist. He used to, you know, give very, very openly with a big heart. So everybody respected him. He wasn't a miser. You know, some people are misers. Neither they use for themselves nor they are able to share with anyone. And therefore they don't even get any type of good wishes or blessings, because they can't give. They can't even give to themselves the good wishes. They are such misers. They don't know how to give. When it comes to receiving, immediately they'll grab. But when it comes to giving, they are stingy. But here, Baba says, you brought nothing when you came into this world, and you'll take nothing physical from this world. But yes, remember your eternal home. Remember who you are. Remember whose child you are. You are the child of the bestower. So have a big heart. Nothing will be lost. So with these feelings, how we feel so strong inside. Knowledge of soul, knowledge of the Supreme Soul. People are, you know, stumbling in search of God. They don't know who God is. They don't know where they have come from. They are stumbling in devotion too. They don't know what they are going to get. They are just maybe waiting. One day God will come. And here we say, you know, very interestingly, not that one day God will come. He has already come and He is ready to depart. He's already come and He's doing His work. And His work is nearly ending and His time is nearly time for Him to depart. So, you know, make effort as much as you can because time is very short. I remember when, you know, Baba used to make first timers to stand up, Avik Bab Dada to stand up, and Baba would look at them and Baba would say, you are very fortunate, first timers, you are very fortunate because although you are late, but you are not too late. At least you are able to meet Baba. You are able to take blessings from Baba. And we used to wonder, when will it be too late? When will it be too late? And now we are seeing so many new ones coming, so many who had not been able to come for many years, although they were in Gyan for many years, but they didn't really think of coming to Madhuvan. And this time many have come, maybe many years in Gyan, but did not come. But now, is it too late? What will you say? Because Bab Dada is not coming or whatever, you know. I remember during Sakar Baba's time, many were in Gyan when Sakar Baba was there, but they never came to Madhuvan. They would say, yes, we will go. And all of a sudden, they got the news, Sakar Baba is no more. Baba has left the body. But they postponed, although they could have come earlier, and they would have got the privilege of meeting Baba. But they postponed. And now Avrik Bab Dada also, many must have postponed, although they were in Gyan for many years. And now, maybe, we really don't know because Dadi Gulzar is in Mumbai. But then we are saying, even this is there, Dadi Janki is still with us. It's not that things are lost, nothing is lost. Baba's teachings are unlimited with us. Because when Sakar Baba left the body, everybody had this question. Who will come to Madhuvan? From where will we get the Murlis? Who will sustain us now? Who will give us the teachings? There is somebody's phone ringing. Who will give us the teachings? And then, nobody knew at that time that Avyat Bab Dada would come and that Gulzar Dadi would be the medium. And then for 49 years, we will have Avyat sustenance. We didn't know that. But the only question was, who will come to Madhuvan now? What will happen of the Yagya? You know, so many questions. But then how things changed, and on the contrary, more and more service took place. Baba started serving in the Avyakt way, and all the long lost now found children, they came to Baba. During Sakar Baba's time, the children were so few, and Baba used to say, more and more children will come. When Baba used to speak the Murli, Baba would speak as if he is speaking to thousands. That was the feeling. There used to be just 15-20 Brahmins sitting in the history hall, and Baba would be speaking them only. But then Baba would speak in such a way as if he's speaking to hundreds. So some would ask Baba, there were hardly 15-20 and you were speaking as if you were speaking to so many. Then you know what Baba would reply? He would say, children, I'm not just looking only at you. I'm seeing also those children who are going to come in the future. Baba used to say that. So who are those whom Baba was seeing who are going to come in the future? Raise your hand. Yeah, we. Definitely. So Baba was seeing you all too. And how we saw the expansion. Service abroad started only after Baba became avyakt. But Baba used to say, the souls from abroad will come to Bharat and awaken the Kumbhakarnas of Bharat. And we are seeing that now. The future of power programs. How it is awakening the Kumbhakarnas of Bharat. So whatever Baba had said in Sakar Murlis is happening in a practical way. And whatever Baba has said in Avyakt Murlis is also happening in a practical way. Because when Avyakt Bap Dada started coming, Baba used to pay attention to each one, each one. Each one Baba would give blessings, you know. Blessing, Toli and Drishti. Baba used to say, these three are your birthright. For Drishti, and then blessing, and then Toli. In Hindi, they are rhyming words. Drishti, Boli, Toli. Boli means blessings, words. So each one Drishti, each one a blessing, and then a Toli. It was my privilege. You know, I used to sit for hours and hours next to Baba, handing Toli in Baba's hand. Who has seen that? Who has that experience? Of getting any individual blessings? Who has got individual blessings? No one. Maybe all the older ones are down. A few, yes, yes. Very good. So Baba used to sit whole night. Just imagine, Murlis used to be short. You can see the Avyakt Murlis. They are shorter. They are very quite short. But then the individual meetings or small group meetings used to go on and on and on and on till morning. And the biggest record broken was when Bap Dada was with us for 16 hours. All records broken, previous records. 16 hours. At 6:30 in the evening, Gulzar Dadi came. That was in Om Shanti Bhavan. At that time, Gyan Sarovar and Shanti Bhavan was not there. It was, I think, in the year 87 or something. Not very sure. But that was the year. Baba was there for 16 hours. Came at 6:30 in the evening, Gulzar Dadi. And Baba came, and then until next morning, 10:30. Can you imagine? 6:30 p.m. to 10:30 a.m. In the meantime, all of the children, maybe they had good rest. First of all, they had dinner. They had good rest, good sleep. And also they bathed, had their breakfast, everything, you know. Because Baba was meeting individuals. So those whose turn would be, they would be there. But the others were doing their own work. And Baba would meet. And at 10:30, everybody was back in the hall after having dinner and sleep and bath next day and breakfast and ready to say goodbye to Baba. And Baba would be serving whole night. You can imagine. It was such a beautiful time. So 16 hours, that was the record. But then on that very day, Baba said, now the method will change. Baba said it. Because children were increasing in number, increasing. So definitely method has to change. Because the body has its own limits, no? His body is not imperishable. And therefore after that, Baba used to speak the murli and then just meet groups. Different zones, different states or regions. And then after that, even that stopped. Because so many children. Because even if you split into groups, there would be so many. Each center or whatever. And then Baba started giving the murli, and in the murli, Baba would speak to everyone. So it was all in general. Or in the murli itself, okay, America stand up, okay, Australia stand up, okay, Russia stand up, whatever. So regions, so they would be standing there and Baba would address to them. Otherwise they would come in front. So things change, because change is the spice of life, we say, anyway. And now we see how everything has changed. But definitely, whatever Baba has spoken, at that time, it felt like a dream. Something like imagination too. How will this be possible? But whatever Baba had said is now taking a practical shape. And whatever Baba has said about destruction too will definitely happen. But in the meantime, we children have to become perfect. Baba says, you are the needles of this world clock. When you needles reach the goal is 12, you know, we are the needles. And both small needle, big needle should be on top of each other. Then it is the end. So destruction is ready. But those who are doing the task of construction, they are not ready yet. Once I remember Mohini Ben of New York, you know, she was meeting the media people. And one of the media men asked her a question. When do you expect destruction to take place? When? Can you give any date? The media people were asking. And she gave a very good reply. She said, at that time Gorbachev was the president of USSR. Gorbachev of USSR. And only in his time it split, no? And the senior Mr. Bush, he was the president of America. The older Bush, the father of the other one. So she said, about destruction, don't ask us. We are not responsible for that. Those who are responsible, ask them. So Gorbachev and Mr. Bush, they have the button. We don't have the button. Huh? I don't know who was America at that time, but Gorbachev was of USSR. So they have the button in their hand. It's up to them when they press the button. And now we say it is in the hand of Trump. Trump, Mr. Trump. And in the hand of Russia, who is the president, Putin. It is in their hand. So this Cold War is always happening. But we are doing the task of establishment. But they are not going to press the button until we are ready. Like people come to demolish the old house. But then the people still living in that old house, and the new house is under construction. The house is very old, but they will not leave the old house until the new house is constructed completely. If it's not ready yet, how can the owners leave the old house? They have to wait for the new house to be totally complete. So too Baba says, we are the needles of this world clock. Where we are, how we are, how much we have become, we are responsible for that destruction. So Baba sometimes says, don't be date conscious, just be soul conscious and God conscious. You don't have to wait for time. Time is waiting for you. You are the master creators. Don't say, oh, when destruction will come, then we will gallop. We will run fast. We will make efforts. You cannot. You will not be able to do it then. Because a long time effort is necessary for that. A lot of accumulation is necessary for that. If that long time effort and accumulation of virtues, powers, knowledge is not there, you cannot be ever ready, because things will happen suddenly. We won't come and tell you one day before or so that this is going to happen tomorrow. Nobody will tell you. So everything will be sudden. And when it will be sudden, you will pass only if you are fully prepared. If you aren't fully prepared, then you will not pass in that sudden catastrophe. So Baba says, you have to be ever ready. Ever ready. And how will you be ever ready? Baba is preparing us for that also. Like the other day, Dadi Gulzar brought Baba's message that children, crucial times are going to come ahead. You do store some groceries, store, because you may not be able to get it at that time. Store some groceries. So why Baba warned us? It's not that it's frightening us, but it's love of Baba for the children. So that in times of, such situations, crucial times, Baba keeps us protected. So Baba is telling us beforehand. I remember how Baba would guide us at every step. How was this Om Shan, this Gyan Sarovar built? Before it was just Pandav Bhavan. But so many children would come that Pandav Bhavan could not accommodate that many. We had to even take hotels on rent in Mount Abu hotels, because Pandav Bhavan didn't have that much accommodation. But nobody ever thought that we should look for more land. We never thought. We tried to think of getting houses near Pandav Bhavan, and we got many houses near Pandav Bhavan. But somewhere else, nobody thought. And when we had a very big conference, we had, Dandavi had the thought, we need a big hall. So Om Shanti Bhavan was built. We got that place, land. It was like a big rock, Om Shanti Bhavan, a big rock. And that was destroyed, to make a flat land, and that big Universal Peace Hall was built. So we had our first conference in 1983 in Universal Peace Conference, Universal Peace Hall. That was 3,000 people, but we took accommodation in hotels and outside guest houses of Mount Abu. And when Baba came to inaugurate that Om Shanti Bhavan, the Universal Peace Hall, Baba said, you have built such a big hall, but where is the accommodation? And then Baba said to Dadi, look for land nearby. It may not be close to Pandav Bhavan, somewhere in Mount Abu nearby. Look for land. And Dadi said, Baba, no land is available. Mount Abu is so small. From where are we going to get the land? Dadi was, she accepted it, but also she was hesitant. Where are we going to get the land? See, Baba's ways are unique. On one hand, he told Dadiji, look for some land in Mount Abu. And on the other hand, how Baba inspired those people who owned this land of Gyan Sarovar, you know. They were our milkmen. They had this land. They owned it. But it was barren land, no cultivation. It was meant to be land for cultivation, but then it's too rocky, too stony, so no cultivation was happening. And they wanted to sell it. So this thought came, we want to sell it. And the Brahma Kumaris are the right people to take it. So on one hand, Baba gave Dadi the thought, look for some land. And on the other hand, those who owned this land, they got the touching from God, sell it to the Brahma Kumaris. And how the deal took place, and we got this land. Isn't it beautiful? Otherwise, where would we get this land? This is out of Mount Abu region. You know, it's not inside Mount Abu region. It is a village. Mount Abu is little town. So village rules are different. But how Baba got us this land? And this hall was built and other houses were being built. And Baba came to inaugurate this hall. And when he saw this hall, you know what Baba said? Baba said, this hall is too small. First, when Baba inaugurated Om Shanti Bhavan, Baba said, this hall is big, but where is accommodation? And when Baba inaugurated this hall, Baba said, this hall is too small, you need a bigger hall. Now, from where are we going to get a bigger hall? Where's the land? We thought that, okay, only for Gyan Sarovar, this hall is sufficient. It's carrying about 1600 seats down in the balcony, and not that much accommodation. Accommodation is not more than 600-700 in Gyan Sarovar. So Baba said, this hall is too small, you need a bigger hall. Now, from where to get a bigger hall, where to get land for a big hall? And then Shantivan. 20,000 people. So not possible in Mount Abu, but yes, down below the mountain, at the bottom of the mountain, lots of land. And we could build Diamond Hall there in Shantivan. 20,000 people can be accommodated in the hall. And then Baba said, such a big hall, but still you need more accommodation. And again, more land near Shantivan. And now so much all over. People are surprised how much land these Brahma Kumaris are buying. Because in Mount Abu, construction work is banned. You can't do more construction here. But Shantivan, yes, down you can still do. And maybe that even also will be banned one day. So Baba is continuing constructing new buildings. So whose instructions are working here? Whose guidance is working here? It's not human guidance. It's not human being guiding us. It is God Himself. He is sustaining us. Every morning when we hear the murli, the soul gets so much strength, so much guidance. Many Brahmins, they share their experience that they had many questions, many doubts, so the stage was not good. But when they came to the murli class, in the murli all the questions were answered. They heard Baba's murli, and immediately their mind became so clear, all doubts finished. So this is the wonder of God. And God is definitely doing such wonders in an incognito way. That is why it is said God's ways are unique. God's way of liberating souls, giving heaven to the children is unique. His way of doing that, nobody knows. People talk about heaven, but they don't know what heaven is and where heaven is and what they have to do in order to go to heaven. but Baba is teaching us how you can go home. People want liberation, but how will they get it? So Baba is showing us the way. Baba said in today's Murli also, I have the keys to both. I open both the gates. The key to Paramdham and the key to heaven. I have them in my hand. And you are given that offer to go, but then you have to be prepared for that. So we have to be prepared in order to go home and then come to the new world. And we are the pivotal points. We are the torchbearers. And Baba has given us this responsibility. So all of you are also aware of it, aren't you? That we have the responsibility of serving the world. We have the responsibility of giving God's introduction to the world. We have to have that stage of purity in us, because golden age means a pure world. And our purity is enabling the world to become pure and for golden age to usher in. So how responsible we are, we have to be aware of that. And when we take that responsibility, then we also feel Baba has given us so much. We cannot give excuses. After taking responsibilities, many give excuses, you know. Somebody is given a responsibility, but he'll give excuse. But I don't have, how I don't have this, how will I do that work? I don't have that, how will I do it? But along with the responsibility, Baba is nurturing us so much. Baba is sustaining us so much. Baba is giving us so much love. In this way, the soul is, kept to that enthusiasm, kept on the toes. And Baba says, wait not till the work is complete. Rest not till you have reached your destination. And we are the ones who are the helpers of God. So do all of you have that intoxication? Those who have, raise your hand. Yes, all of you have this response, this intoxication. So can we be lazy? Can we be, sort of wasting our time? We don't have even 1 second to spare. And if we say, oh, waste thoughts come, this comes, that comes, aren't we just giving excuses? Because Baba has given us so much love, so much sustenance, so many teachings, that we cannot give any excuses. So we take that responsibility and say to Baba, yes Baba, we are ready. Yes? All are ready? All ready? Then again raise your hand. Yes. Not all raising the hand? Okay. Very good. Okay. So, thank you very much. Om Shanti. Om Shanti, Om Shanti. So let us sit in Baba's remembrance.
हमारा सारा जीवन आपने खुशहाल कर दिया, हाँ खुशहाल कर दिया। हो ओ बाबा आपने कमाल कर दिया, हमारे बाबा आपने कमाल